Welcome to Night Clerk Radio, episode 32. Back shopping for more Mallsoft?
Yep.
We'll find out by the end of this. You should always read the label a bit closer before you buy a product.
Sure.
But sometimes you end up with happy accidents.
Yeah.
By now, a couple days ago, the lo-fi bonus episode, our third Patreon bonus episode, dropped, where we talk about lo-fi hip-hop. And this was a really fun episode. I think we scratched a lot of surfaces of topics that will be future episodes, because there's a lot of things that came up and it's like, boy, I want to talk about this for 45 minutes, but you can't do that for, you know, we're not yet at the so self-indulgent that we put out the 3-hour podcast.
The proverbial tip of the iceberg.
Yes, exactly. So definitely check that out. If you're not already a patron, go to Nightclerk Radio, patreon.com, join, fire up the Discord, join the community, listen to our bonus episodes, and help support us. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
But today we're back. It's Mallsoft, a favorite of the vaporwave subgenres, as I've said many times. So one thing we've always noticed, and you've commented on this a lot, is that vaporwave has evolved a lot from being very plunderphonics, sample-based, to vaporwave artists trying to do their own thing. Like, here's within the vaporwave aesthetic, we're making our own music. And we wanted to see if Mallsoft has done the same thing. So you've dug up, I chose mine completely at random. I judged a book by its cover. Just picked something off Bandcamp. And I don't know how you decided on yours. I think I have a suspicion.
Oh.
But I don't want to speak for you.
Okay. Do you want to say what your guess is and then I can answer it? Or
I think you were cruising the Brutalism tab on Bandcamp.
I was not, actually.
Okay. I'm so owned on air.
No, I actually went on YouTube and looked for Mallsoft mixes that were uploaded within the latest year, I think.
Okay.
And I started going through there and be like, oh, that's an older song. That's an older song. Oh, look at this one. This is new. And so I looked up that artist and then looked for their most recent album. And that's how I found it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I apologize. I did not mean to pigeonhole you there.
Yeah, I would not. I would not associate Brutalism with Mallsoft, though, which is sort of the...
Well, some malls are...
Yeah, but, like, that would not have been my go-to move. That's not, like, not even the top 10 places I would go for Mallsoft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I applaud you, because you had way more focus than I did. I just went to I'll just say, a post Mallsoft tag. I found out that's a thing.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You need to post everything.
Yep. There's rock, and then there's post-rock.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, there's post vaporwave and stuff. And I just was scrolling down until I saw a cover that looks cool. And I checked it. And I was like, okay, let's just do this.
And it was a choice.
It was a choice. I really liked it. I'll spoil the whole episode there. But I think we should really just get into these albums.
Yeah.
Because I think we should talk about them. And then after people hear some samples and our thoughts, it makes more sense to kind of revisit the philosophy or kind of what they're really doing as modern Mallsoft albums. So let's get into it. Was from the track Perfume and Jewelry off the album 4D Gradients by Ropumal. I don't know if they want you to literally translate that into Ropumal, because that's what Ropu is. But I think there's also a brand Ropu.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what it's referencing. It may have also just been chosen at random, or it could have been a mall.
Or Google Translate. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, this is in true vaporwave artist fashion. I don't really know much about this person. They're flagged as from Denmark on Bandcamp, and the album itself was released through Oasis Limited, a North Carolina vaporwave record label, I guess you'd call them. But otherwise, yeah, I totally judged the book by its cover, and I liked the book. I think there's a lot to say about Mollsoft and everything is you can hear, I picked this track because I think it's the closest to like traditional Mollsoft to me in that it's weird, but quiet and kind of chill.
Yeah.
Mollsoft is always like a really chill genre for me for the most part. But what makes this album interesting and one of the reasons I picked it is that it's described as being largely sample free. Yeah. I don't know if it's completely sample free, but
it doesn't sound like there's samples in it. Like if there are samples, it's not drawing attention to itself.
Exactly. So already we're seeing like Vaporwave, that big departure from nostalgic processed sampling. So because the Mollsoft was, those first Mollsoft albums are very literal in their goal. Here's mall music played to sound like it's in a mall.
Yeah.
It's Mollsoft. And this is like, oh, these are original compositions inspired by music. But I don't get like a Muzak vibe at all.
No. I mean, at times, but like, a lot of this album is like, what even is this album? Like the post Mollsoft, I think, is very appropriate because it's not really like Mollsoft in the sense of like Mollsoft of being music made to sound like it's in a large space and very Muzak focused. I mean, there's times it's like Vapor Trap.
Yeah. On track two, which there's like parts of that track where like the beat and the meter is kind of changing every 45 seconds, kind of back and forth. It's like speeding up. Sometimes I have to listen a little bit closer and clap along with it, but sometimes it feels like the meter is changing, not just the tempo. Like it's in a slightly different time signature, which you kind of get that modulation a lot. So I do think it's really in that post Mollsoft, much like post rock talks about eschewing all the stuff about rock that's kind of formulaic and that you want to move past. I think in the same way, it's done its own thing where it still has that central vibe of like, creating a sense of space. It's just more like in a decaying, horrific mall that's been forgotten because Amazon put it out of business rather than like nostalgia for the heyday of the mall.
What even is this album? There's so many different elements in it. And it really does. I mean, it doesn't feel like a banner to me because it's just the music is so active and so energetic at times. It's not like a lot of Mollsoft you would describe as pretty languid. And like certainly the sample you did was one of the more calmer pieces, but a lot of it, you know, like track four and track seven with that like flute, especially track seven with the little flute and it's kind of funky. Like, God, what is going on? Like, what is this place? It is very creepy. And they, I mean, they do still do the distortion to make it sound like it's in a space and the PA system is kind of distorting things. It's not really tuned right. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's an intriguing album.
I agree. I think it's interesting you outlined track four and seven because those were two that I really liked as well. So track four is just this like long cacophony of like chimes and random percussion.
It's like a xylophone almost. I don't know. Or a synthesized xylophone kind of. I don't know.
There's a lot going on in there. There's chimes. There's definitely drums, but not like a drum kit. More of like hand drums almost, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Or entirely just toms. And then, yeah, every so often there's like a big chime, which kind of sounds like a cash register till almost. And it just goes. And that's one thing I really liked about this album. I don't know why, but I really love that they just let these tracks go for like 4 to 6 minutes because there is so much to listen to and process. Track length is really a funny thing because other times I praised albums for only having like, yeah, you got this sick beat and you just do it for 2 minutes and you move on.
Yeah.
So it's very contextual, of course, but I think it really works. And then, yeah, track seven has this wind chime. Like you said, flute. I think it's like a big pan flute because it's very deep. It's like a much lower register than a flute. Some type of a pan flute is really interesting. So which leads me into like the other half of this album, which is some of the synth choices like patches are almost the nostalgia. Like they're really quote unquote cheap, like old Casio style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Synth work.
Yeah.
So on, I think, track three. It's like string synth and like strings have gotten really realistic sounding if you have like a good synth setup. I'll watch like Rick Beato does that all the time where he'll play stuff on strings through his keyboard, you know, like just some string sample. And it just sounds like a violin quartet or something. And this is that old Casio keyboard. Like, and the same thing later in the album, but they have more Casio like brass and woodwind type sound. So there's like that really interesting element of like production nostalgia, but in something that's still like really clean and layered and rich.
Yeah. And later on, it does get more Mollsofty in that it starts slowing down and there's a bit of like I don't, for lack of a better term, entropy, as like things kind of decay and break down, like the last 2 minutes of track 8. And I think it's track 11 that has this like static popping up, like just on the, like for me on the left channel, like it was very, very stereo sound, which is very cool. I really dug that. And by the end, it gets very spacey, very ambient.
Yes.
And
there's a lot of dark ambient in my Mossoft on these albums.
Yeah.
So you're kind of pointing towards the other sample I wanted to play that is, I wanted to pick something that's kind of a counterpoint to that Perfume and Jewelry, that intro sample. So here's a bit from track 14. So that was from track 14, which is Raycasting for $19.99, I guess, if you literally translate the track title. And the reason I picked this is I feel like there's something there because it's got this little Muzak melody playing. And you can hear little hints of it every so often. But the bulk of the mixing and what you hear is just this static, distorted foreground noise. And like this like ominous dread kind of drowning out all of that. Like, it's almost like there's like a little hint of classic Mossoft back there. Like here's your cutesy little, you know, pithy synth music in the background. But in front of it is just all of this decay. That's just like eating away at it. And that's kind of the back half of the album is this, sort of feeling of ambient decay.
I would be really interested in getting an interview with this artist to sort of understand more of their process, because this is like a very complex and layered album. And there's a lot going on. I'm sure we're missing some of what the artist is meaning, but like, boy, you really hit on like just people are really going above and beyond Mossoft, like in terms of what they're doing with this genre now. So yeah, I'm really glad to listen to it. I don't know if I would be listening to this all the time. I was listening to this like multiple times today before the episode. It's actually pretty good to write to once you get used to it. I don't know. It's
not. Yeah, I agree. I definitely, once I got over that initial shock of like, this ain't your daddy's Mossoft or whatever.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, this kind of rules. Like if you just listen to it, like as a really interesting, like dark synth album, I don't know. Like you don't even need to assign it a genre. It's a futile exercise. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'll probably, if I listen to it again, I would probably do it purposefully. Like, I don't know if I just put it on while I'm doing something. I'd probably want to continue to give it like a really close listen, you know, like when you're kind of prepping for the show. I think my description, because I haven't talked about him in a few episodes, I said like, this is my kind of like abstract art. And I have roughly the same sense of expectation result dissonance as when I watched season 3 of Twin Peaks for the first time, because you expect a lot when it has like Twin Peaks on the title and you get none of that in season 3. Like that's kind of the, joke. Like season 1 and 2 was, maybe Twin Peaks is Mossoft, maybe, because season 1 and 2 is kind of like making fun of the melodrama and kind of the nostalgia and like the good old days. And like, there's not good stuff behind that. And then now it's back. And you expect more of that, but it just gave you something else. And at first it feels a little weird, but then you grow to like it and then realize it's actually really, really good.
Yeah. I like that comparison. I think a lot. There is this whole idea of like the veneer of banality and civility and niceness. And then, but inside it's all rotting, you know, beneath the
Now there's not even a veneer.
Yeah, exactly. There's not even a veneer. You can see the black mold seeping through. Anyways, you should listen to the album.
You should.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to move on to our next one, unless you have anything else you'd.
No, I do like title. It's just very vaporwavy. 40 gradients.
Yeah, and the album cover is great. So look at it in the episode art or on Bandcamp. Okay. But for now, we're going to move on.
That is a bit from track 9, Computer Age, from Academy by Hallmark 87. When I found this album, I did send Burke a GIF referencing Amigara Fault. This album was made for me because it is a brutalist themed vaporwave Malsoft album. The description is very apt. Sharp angles, sheer blank concrete walls, no natural light, and not a single person to be found. Academy, but as the day came to an end, the Academy transformed. Everything was fading to black. As the last bell rang, it seemed as though I was the only person left. All the other students and professors had left their labs, and I was stuck in the dark atrium with no way out. Hallmark 87, I haven't found any interviews or any information about them. They say they're from Pennsylvania, and this is actually the second in a... There's another album they did called Atrium, which is also very similarly themed. And I did find a review of that album that kind of provides a little bit of context to this album. Most Malsoft albums find inspiration in their namesake location, but Hallmark 87 diverges from it in a wholly unique way by emulating the architectural accomplishments of John C. Portman Jr., the neo-futurist to which this album is dedicated. Portman popularized and retooled Atria for the modern setting. Open vertical shafts reaching to the ceiling with light pouring down into the structure. As a neo-futurist, he also created the Peachtree Center in Atlanta, Georgia, a self-contained complex that would act as the city's center for tourism, boarding, and trade for decades. And I believe that is what is used as the album art for both Atrium and Academy. I'm not sure. It's a very vague bunch of gray rectangles. That could be a close-up of a photo of that. But this was slightly older. This was released in 2019. But when I saw the description, and they literally have a track title, track 3 is called Breton Brut, you know, exposed concrete. Who would I be if I did not review a brutalist vaporwave album?
You'd not be the man that I want to co-host this with.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed this album, unsurprisingly. It is... very good. It is actually far more pleasant and airy than I had expected. It does drift into dark ambient, especially towards the back half, and it remains sort of mall soft at its core. It's very open. It's very like it tries to evoke these massive indoor spaces. For me, the lobby of the Hyatt Hotel in Indianapolis, which is connected to the Gen Con Convention Center, is what comes to mind because I've spent many hours there playing games, or we recorded podcasts there. You could hear it. If you're a fan of RPPR, Dig to Victory, U-Boat Haraus, I believe were recorded there, probably some others. So I overall quite love this album. What did you think, Burke?
Oh, no, I liked it too. I'm a sucker for the sci-fi arcology reference. You know, the Tyrell building in Blade Runner, or the Renraku arcology in Shadowrun, which I guess is... if you want Malsoft to be functionally about liminal spaces, I mean, it still fits. Like, it's still like a weird in-between place. Yeah, I really liked the varying tones of this album. It does have a lot of dark ambient, but it also has a lot of really nice, sorry to make the reference twice so close together, but there's some stuff that's synth that's very Vangelis, like very Blade Runner-y inspired, like Aqua.
Yeah, Aqua, and actually the one that really stuck out to me was track 12, Megadata. So why don't we play that sample? Mm-hmm. That is extremely evangelist. That, like, that was Tractor. I was like, motherfucking evangelist again. Like, can't escape him.
So many layered synths never end. So I really like that. Mm-hmm. Some other tracks, I really liked Dancing Particles. Mm-hmm. That hit me real quick. Just those dreamy arpeggios. I just love that sort of mm-hmm. feeling.
Yeah, and the little chimes kind of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's quite pleasant. The thing about, and the genius of this album is that they realize Molsoft does not end with the shopping mall. It's evolved since the subgenre sort of came about. You know, early Molsoft albums were just sampling and reverb to make it sound like it was coming from a PA, a speaker. Physical shopping malls may be sliding into the dustbin of history. The idea of mall ambience is still with us. I mean, how dissimilar is the shopping mall to other large buildings, especially with these vast lobbies, hotels, convention centers, offices? They all kind of radiate a certain mallness to them. They use similar kind of interior decorating styles, similar systems of surveillance and control to keep people calm, and like the air conditioning slightly too cold to be comfortable. The music's a little weird. The acoustics are extremely weird. And it's this banality of the commercial architecture and a genial indifference to human emotions. And that'll persist even after the last shopping mall is torn down. And that's what Molsoft should capture. And that's what this album is capturing. Because it's, again, these incredibly large indoor spaces where you look up and it's 300 feet to the ceiling. It's just open space in front of you. And that feels kind of weird. I mean, medieval architects would only use that for the church, so you could commune closer to God. Now you're just waiting to meet some people at a hotel before you go on a trip. Why? Why would they do this?
It's funny that you mention all those hotels, and we won't get too like inside jokey with it because mm-hmm. I don't know how many of our listeners have gone to Gen Con.
Yeah.
But all of those hotels are so big and so weird mm-hmm. around that convention center. There's like the one with the weird angel statues.
Oh yeah. With the trains too.
Yeah. There's like a train. Mm-hmm. Like some of the rooms are in like an abandoned train. It's just these weird spaces. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they can only be captured through really weird music.
Yeah.
Which I think is appropriate. Like, I think I really like your point about Molsoft capturing that liminalness and that decay that's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's just really appropriate, I think, to listen to this stuff now because we're somewhat post-mall as a society. You know, like physical shopping is kind of going away, you know, a little bit each year.
Yeah.
So those spaces are becoming even like more decayed and abandoned. Mm-hmm. I know I've said this a long time ago, but we have a lot of new listeners. The mall in my hometown is a very famous abandoned mall. There's lots of videos of it on YouTube of people urban splunking through it. And it took, from when it shut down, 10, 15 years for anything to like think about opening up in there again. Like in 2020, they decided to open a new movie theater. So I don't know how that went, but it's still there. And they do like one or two shows a day. But yeah, it's just this weird decay state. And I'm really glad that these albums have captured that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's almost too naive in 2021, 2019, when your album came out, to kind of keep doing the same mm-hmm. appeal to 90s nostalgia that you would do in 2014.
Yeah.
I'm really glad the genre's evolved.
And this album really captures it because of the sort of like duality between the pleasantness of the music, but also sort of counterpointed by the dark ambient. Let's play a sample from track 3, which is also the longest track on there, I believe, Breton Brut, which is like 11 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
This sample, I think, gets a bit of like the Molsoft and the dark ambient. And this is a thing that this kind of point counterpoint you'll hear again and again in this album. And towards the end, it gets more dark ambient and ambient in general. Like one thing I did like in the next, both these albums, by the way, are 16 tracks long, which is an interesting coincidence. Concrete Birds had some kind of synthesized bird calls in it in the middle. And I thought that was pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of these wind sounds of wind towards the end, just emphasizing the emptiness of this space. And yeah, it really does feel like you're alone in this building and the music's just on a loop and you're just hearing this eerie music as you're wandering around a very clean but desolate structure that is far too large for your needs. And I will definitely be listening to this next time I have to take a plane somewhere.
Yeah, it's good airport music for sure. Yeah. Partially because it is lightly, I mean, there's like a nice written up bit about it, but it is clearly also a concept album. Yeah. There's also a flow through the titles of new discoveries. And then there's like weird, it's not really the right word, but like things that feel more diegetic or like in the space.
Yeah, there's an announcement.
Other tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Track 8 announcement sounds more like a train jingle or something over PA.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of the stuff just sounds like music. It sounds like the soundtrack or whatever of the concept album. But you're kind of moving through this academy. And the last track is called Breach, which is very it's dark ambient is literally what it is. It's a lot of wind blowing.
Scanner sweeps and
these phase sweeps and wind and everything is kind of drawn out. It doesn't have as much structure.
I feel like this is the kind of music they would play in the Federal Bureau of Control and the video game Control. Like before the monster things, whatever you want to call it, the hiss invaded. Like that's the background music for that place. So this is them trying to be pleasant and normal. And that this is as close as they can get. So yeah, it's very good. I'm definitely going to listen to the predecessor album to this, Atrium, because like that's been uploaded to YouTube and that has like over 100,000 views of people listening to that album. And so there are reviews of that giving it like, oh, this is one of the best albums I've listened to in my entire life on like Rate Your Music and Album of the Year. So I'm quite interested to explore Atrium, but that was released in 2018 or 17, I believe. So I wanted to get the more recent of the two for the podcast. Probably Atrium is also worth listening
to. I think so. I would listen to a lot of what they have up. I'm definitely also, for our first album, I'm going to check out more by that artist. If you just go directly to their Bandcamp, which is linked on the release Bandcamp for the music, the record label. They have a single and like two other albums.
But yeah, one of their albums, Ephemeral Dreams, is listed as lo-fi. So I'm interested in that. But also Hallmark 87 is just such a great vaporwave artist name. So kudos to them for coming up with that. So yeah, Molsoft is still around. It doesn't seem as many people are releasing it like as say Vapor Trap or other genres, but it's still an active subgenre, which is good to see. I'm actually going to listen to that. We another album we considered to review was Ascension from Groceries. I will probably listen to that just to see what we missed. But I wanted to get a new artist in here.
Yeah, we did them on our first Molsoft episode. So yeah, no, I agree. I think it was good to do two new artists. I agree. Both these albums were really interesting. I would say check them out. I'd recommend them. I would just go in with an open mind. Like, remember, genre is a nonsense term, so don't let it guide your expectations too much. Don't fall into the trap that I did, which is being like, ooh, what is happening for the first few minutes of my album. But otherwise, I think they're great and worth checking out. So thanks so much for listening. I think it was really fun to dig into a couple new Molsoft albums and see how the genre has evolved. Just learn more about what's going on out there. I think I'm going to finish off with one other point that sort of occurred to me during the 10-second pause of that sample. I think it's just really important to kind of stay on top of these things, because good art will evolve with the times in which it's made instead of remaining stagnant. And I think it's nice that Mallsoft has evolved.
Yeah, for sure.
But in terms of also educating ourselves, in our lo-fi episode, we talked about how we want to dig into lo-fi artists. So next episode, we haven't decided who yet, but we're going to go out there and see what is some really seminal, important lo-fi albums that we might have missed because the music is so stream-based, and we're going to come back and talk about it and revisit the genre with a little more focus on specific albums instead of kind of its history and philosophy and the like. So I'm excited just like learning about a new genre. So I think that'll be really exciting.
Yeah, sure. I can't wait to see what's out there.
Yeah, me neither. If you want to know what we're talking about, you can find our previous discussion of lo-fi on our Patreon at Night Clerk Radio. At Patreon, we do a bonus episode a month. There's a Discord community, which is full of Ross and other people posting
the best
links.
Yeah,
the best, the finest, the finest of links. And just overall, it's a cool group of people to chat with. If you want to talk to us directly, you can find us at Night Clerk Radio on Twitter. Ross is at Ross Payton. I am at Burke McBurkinson. We're also Night Clerk Radio on the website, the.coms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, wherever you do choose to listen to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Please take the time to rate, review, interact with us in any capacity. Mm-hmm. Subscribe on YouTube, like a video. All that stuff really helps us out. And until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.